gentlemen, your attention, please.
You are my Lebanese lover, Pete.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
What the heck? Is that Pete?
That's a ridiculous response.
Ignition sequence start. 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Don, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to prolong the news, but the Kennedy was just painful getting in.
Oh, I understand, man.
I know we're all blaming each other because it starts raining and everybody slows down, but we were at a dead stop about 12 different times. Oh, painful stuff. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Tuesday night, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. Remember, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Pete McMurray. We have a packed show tonight. I thought we were going to go on the air around 10:30 or 11. We have Police Chief Eddie Johnson joining us at 11 o'clock. Traditionally, a lot of violence around the holidays. Eddie's going to talk a little bit about that and what we can do as a city to help out the police department. So right after the 11 o'clock news. And competitive eater Juan Morbite Rodriguez, he's at the airport. He's going to fly to New York. He's going to be in the Nathan hot dog eating contest. I don't know how you do that. What's the most food you've ever eaten at one sitting? Everybody think about that for a second. Anybody? Vivi? Hummus does not count.
Feta, though. Feta counts.
Feta counts?
I think so. You get stuffed with feta.
Feta cheese does not count.
What do you mean? Of course it comes.
No, it doesn't. That's
pastizio,
not real.
Pastizio, lamb during Easter. My goodness, I ate so much Easter.
Lamb?
Lamb, yeah.
I'm talking hot dogs, pizza, chicken wings.
Yeah.
The most you've ever eaten. Think about that.
Greeks don't believe in chicken wings and
why is hot that?
Dogs.
What?
You should believe in them. They're good.
I could probably, at one sitting, eat about 40 or 50 chicken wings.
Whoa.
I could.
Boneless?
No.
Oh.
Eat them off the bone. When I was younger, my two sisters worked at Famous Recipe Fried Chicken in Peoria, and they would bring home a bucket of chicken every night.
Oh, man.
So I can just rip off the two bones off the chicken wing and pull them out and eat the meat.
It's so sloppy, though.
Oh, I love it.
No, but I bet, yeah, you probably have a...
Oh, I could go for some wings right now.
I feel like if they're boneless, too, that number goes way down.
Yeah.
Right? There's more meat.
Boneless doesn't count. What is that?
It's a different thing. It's a different texture and everything.
They put all the stuff together and they squeeze it together. It's not real.
Right. It's a fake wing.
It is a fake wing. I don't like that. Boneless? No. I do like them hot, though.
Yeah.
Whew. Yes. Don, did you notice what Vivi is drinking right now?
It looked like a dew. It looked like an old school dew.
It looked like a Mountain Dew from 1970. What is that? What are you drinking?
Yeah, it's Yahoo Mountain Dew. That's what it says on the can.
That is not from the United States. Who did you get that from?
Adam actually gave it to us, our engineer.
Okay.
And it's from Mexico, I believe, right?
He smuggled it in, yeah. That's what he said.
He's got the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Real sugar. He was bragging about it.
He brought Mountain Dew from Mexico with pure cane sugar.
Yes.
Oh, man, you're going to be up until tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It really is a kick. Yeah.
I was a big Diet Dew guy. I used to drink the Diet Dew every day, and then I just stopped.
This is the first time I'm drinking this.
I love it so much.
I believe Wisconsin runs on Dew. I really do.
I love Diet Mountain Dew. I could drink it every day of my life, but I quit like 5 years ago.
Not diet.
Oh, I love it.
I love the neon green color.
What do they put in that to make it green?
Just delicious.
Is it like delicious coloring, stuff. I'm assuming?
And if that's not enough, they made the other, like the Fire Dew. There's the red that has even more. I don't know what's in it, but you know, there's tons of caffeine.
It's definitely not healthy.
I am so over caffeinated. I can never get enough caffeine in my life. Oh, love it.
It's good.
You know what's great? It's drinking pop out of the glass bottles.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best, yeah.
That's nice.
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. You walk in, they have the Shorty Diet Coke bottles. It's fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it.
Oh, ice cold.
Yeah, glass, it's classier. It's a bit classier of a soda.
It really is. But what is it with pop or beer in glass? It tastes so much colder and just tastes better.
And it looks, I think the aesthetic is part of it. Like, it just looks better. It catches the light.
Did you notice how I lower my voice for effect?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just love it.
It's hitting it. It's hitting it.
You're right. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. And there was an icon that died today. Vivi won't know because she's 12 years old. She has a permit so she can work here at the station, but I'll explain that next. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's 720 WGN.
Quality, hard work, commitment. The stuff America was made of. Without them, there is no future. I have one and only one ambition for Chrysler. To be the best. What else is there?
When you think of iconic TV commercials from the 80s, Chrysler, Lee Iacocca. Talk about a guy that you just want to trust, and he talked about his people like they were family. Wow, those were powerful commercials. And Don, you said that he ran or thought considered running for president?
Yeah, I mistakenly said he ran. He was courted to run. Apparently, he was, you know, right up until he was going to submit his candidacy, but he was talked out of it by a friend.
I do remember that. So was he going to run on the Democratic side or the Republican side?
I believe Democrat.
Okay, that was 88 was Bush Sr. and Dukakis, right?
Yep, that's right. Michael Dukakis.
Michael Dukakis had the scandal with the woman in 88. It's one of the reasons that he lost. Do you guys remember that? Vivi, you remember that, right?
Of course. Yeah, what was it, like back in 1963?
What year were you born?
1993.
You look at me like, what are you talking about? But iconic TV commercials, when you think of the 80s Chrysler. You were born, what, in 93, you said?
93.
So 90s would be, what's an iconic commercial from the 90s?
Well, for me, I would think Ronald McDonald. McDonald's commercial.
Okay.
In the 90s.
Well, those are classic. You could pick any decade
well,
for
not,
the McDonald's.
Well, not now. I mean, you don't really see Ronald McDonald in any McDonald's commercials.
You don't
commercials.
See Ronald McDonald, but you still see McDonald's to this
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really even specialize on the Happy Meals anymore.
Was You Deserve a Break Today? That was the 80s, wasn't it? Didn't Barry Manilow write that? Mm. You Deserve a Break Today? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. Was that the 90s or early 2000s? That was early 2000s.
I remember the tune. I still remember the tune.
Right.
But,
okay.
I don't know.
70s, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah,
everybody remembers
those.
That
I've
one.
Those.
Man, iconic TV commercials. What else comes to mind?
I'm looking through a little list of 90s.
I mean,
here. Fruit Stripe Gum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fruit Stripe Gum.
Little animated, colorful horse.
Right.
A zebra, I guess.
Yeah, it was a zebra. A cartoon zebra. Back in the 80s and 90s, I know it's hard for the youngsters to believe this, but you had to watch live TV, and you had to sit through commercials at the time. That's why it was such a big deal.
What a chore.
Do you guys purposely start shows late so you don't have to do that? We do at our house.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yes.
A little delay. So
yes.
You can fast forward.
Fast forward. Now, if you watch shows on demand, if it's a network show, they don't let you fast forward. You have to sit through the whole thing. So you have to take an hour.
Even on demand?
Yes.
Whoa.
You've never done that?
No.
So if you wanted to catch up on, say, a show on NBC, America's Got Talent, you can go on demand, but you have to watch all the commercials.
They figured it out.
There's no what we were doing. That's why if you're going to watch around the time that it's on, you can start it and fast forward off your DVR. I DVR everything. A million things a day.
Oh, I just found another one here. I remember Mentos the Fresh Maker.
Oh, Mentos!
Oh, I remember that,
yes.
Too.
Okay.
This is great.
Hold on a second. My computer just froze up.
Fruit Loops, too.
Fruit Loops. Corn Pops.
What was that thing, that Fruit Loop animal?
Oh.
Toucan Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Bird, yeah. Toucan Sam. He had a big, colorful
beak. Oh, yeah,
beak.
That's right. I'm looking at it right now.
Yes. I remember Toucan Sam.
I still love Fruit Loops.
Yeah, those are good.
I love Fruit Loops.
Hold on, I have the Mentos commercial right here. This is it. It's a woman, all dressed up. She's getting on, looks like a limousine.
Don's dancing.
And she's taking a Mentos and walking on the red carpet. Oh, that's nice. Oh, and she rips off the bottom of her dress.
Whoa.
Makes it a shorty dress over the knees.
Look out.
Wow. Wow, that's scandalous right there.
Look at that rockin' jingle.
Right.
I love it.
Absolutely. Nobody does jingles anymore.
No, it's like one line. That's mm-hmm. it. Like three notes, and that's all you get.
They do that with TV shows nowadays, too. You don't get the intro anymore, which I guess is fine because we're always in a hurry. We don't want to sit through the intro.
I suppose, but it's part of the, I think it's part of the appeal of the shows. Like, the intro is kind of like, you know, it's part of that whole hook.
It's interesting that you say that because Big Little Lies on HBO has this long intro with the music. And it's like, oh my God, do we need this? I mean, it goes on for like 90 seconds.
That's true, I guess. But you know what? HBO, maybe they haven't gotten the memo like that. Because you think, you know, all their shows have like a big drawn, like Game of Thrones. They had all their drawn out with like music.
Right.
Full list of, you know, cast credits. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
They're like, yeah, but they don't care. It's like all their shows are an hour. So they're like, oh, 90 seconds? Yeah, sure.
Sopranos, when he's pulling up the driveway.
Right.
Driving through town. You're right. What is this? There's a new show with Kevin Bacon on Showtime that I've been watching, City on the Hill. That's another one that has a long, drawn-out intro.
Mm.
It's like 90 seconds. There's got to be a happy medium in there.
Yeah, right.
It's rough stuff. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Early 70s, McDonald's Motor was changed back from your dollar burger, fries, pop, 85 cents. Hmm. I don't remember that one. On demand doesn't work. I get an error message on my cable. You got to talk to your cable operator about that. I don't know what to tell you. You can't fast forward on demand. Okay. McDonald's McDLT commercial in the 80s with Jason Alexander. I absolutely remember that.
Oh, yeah.
The hot side and the cold side. The McDLT.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was the dumbest idea ever.
Right.
Oh.
Burgers are not like pillows.
Right.
I don't need to flip it.
And then you had that big styrofoam box because they wanted the cold side, and it was like a double styrofoam box that you had to carry.
They had no, and they just didn't care about the environment at that time.
Guys, I got a great idea. We're going to have a hamburger. It's going to look exactly the same, but we're going to have it cold side, the hot side. Who came up with that concept?
I don't know.
Wow. And then it goes through test markets and makes it nationwide.
I know, the focus groups. Imagine, like, this
crazy.
Is kind of good. Okay.
815 area code. I'm a pepper. You're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Oh, yeah, Dr. Pepper. That's great. I wonder if they tried to bring that back. I feel like that would work today. Boy, the Dr. Pepper campaign with the guy that's delivering the Dr. Peppers at the football stadium during college football, I think is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whoever that actor is, he's so funny.
Yeah, those are really good.
Yeah, I think they had him on College Game Day on ESPN. 312-981-7200. Pete, did Michael Dukakis have a sex problem during his campaign? I think so. We're going to Google it. Oh, I could be thinking of Gary Hart. You're right. Gary Hart got caught with the girl. Yeah, you're right. I apologize. Yeah. Okay. Gary Hart in the... Did he run in the late 80s or was that early 90s? I think it was late 80s. We'll check. We'll fact check. It's late at night. No
I think
one's paying 80s. Attention.
It was 80s.
80s?
Yeah, late
Gary 80s. Hart? That was 1988 campaign?
72, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
No, it was not 1972. 72. Gary Hart was the late 80s. He was.
Presidential campaign?
No.
George McGovern, 72
oh
presidential campaign.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm in a Wikipedia
oh, jeez.
Right,
just Google Gary Hart. We're gonna take care of this during commercials. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200. We need to do a future segment on iconic TV commercials. 630, where's the beef? Yes, absolutely. Love it. Dukakis did the tank picture. Mike, 847 area code. Yes, he did. Gary Hart, it was the guy that I was thinking about that was the front runner in 88, and he had to drop out because of allegations. He got caught with that woman.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
He announced his candidacy for the 88 election, and in April 1987, they said that's when the story broke.
They both had the 80s hair, though, if I remember correctly. The 80s hair, if you remember.
How does that even look like now?
You can Google. Large. Google Gary Hart's melon. And Gary Hart had an oversized melon, I want to say. It was just a little bit too big. And Michael Dukakis, too. And maybe one extra tooth in his mouth.
Wow.
Coming up next, we will talk to Juan Rodriguez. One More Bite. He'll be competing on live TV in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July. We'll talk to him right after news with Don. It takes a very special individual to be a competitive eater. Our next guest will be competing live Thursday on national TV in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Our great friend, give it up for One More Bite Rodriguez. And you're at the airport right now, is that right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pete. I am. I'm sitting at SeaTac Airport waiting to get on my flight to head up to NYC right now.
Now, you used to reside in Naperville. You moved. What happened?
A lady happened. That's
what happened. Oh, man.
Last August, I packed up my car and a U-Haul trailer and drove cross country to Seattle. I've been living here for about 9 months now.
So what?
11 months. 11 months.
You live in Seattle. Is there a lot of competitive eating in Seattle? I feel like they're eating granola and fish.
Yeah, a lot of granola, a lot of fish. there's really not. I mean, like, there's some, you know, restaurant challenges, but contest-wise,
okay.
No, there's really not much out here on the West Coast. The ones that are, they haven't fit our schedule, so it's been kind of a very slow year for us, which I'm kind of sad. It hurts my heart. But it's all right. I'm at the most important one, and that's all that matters.
Now, how do you get in? How did you compete? How did you qualify to get in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest?
We had to go to one of the regional qualifiers, and the one we went to was actually prior to the Rocky Padres game back in May, early May, I believe.
Okay.
And so we won that qualifier, and we earned our spot and our flight and hotel and all the fun stuff that comes with it.
What did you have to eat?
Compete on the...
What did you have to eat at the baseball game?
We had to eat hot dogs. So she had to win. My girlfriend had to win the women's division, and I had to win the male, and we both took care of business that day.
How many did you eat?
Sadly, only 26, because it was a bad day. But hey, I got the job done. If I can win on a bad day, I take it.
Now, if people didn't hear that, because the airport is so loud, you ate 26 hot dogs.
Yeah, that's not qualify. Even my personal best. I'm gunning for 40 tomorrow on Thursday.
Now, Juan, when people think of competitive eating, they immediately think obese, but you're a personal trainer.
Yeah, I'm a fitness coach now at a company called F45, and I help people transform their bodies into, chiseled, gods and goddesses. And, we're nowadays, that's the norm of us eaters. We're all former athletes or, triathletes or, you name it, bodybuilders, CrossFitters. And we can throw down food more than those big farm-looking boys.
Well, what is the secret, Juan? I mean, it's got to be a trick. What is the secret in competitive eating?
Train, dedication, and training. That's the secret.
Because when you eat a hot dog, you're dipping the hot dog in water, right?
Correct, yeah. I use the bun as my water. I try not to pick my cup up.
Okay.
I try to get it, soak my entire bun and just shovel it down my throat.
And are you chewing or are you just swallowing the puppy?
I'm swallowing the bun. I try to get about, five bites out of each dog and then just swallow them as is.
Okay.
And move on to the next one. You try to minimize the chewing in the early stages of that contest.
Well,
save it for those latter stages.
Well, the competition is Thursday. How do you train for this? Do you drink a lot of water to expand your stomach? What are you doing?
Yeah. That's personally my go-to is drinking two gallons or 2.5 gallons of water as fast as possible. And, holding it down. So, as you go with the phrase of accept the pain, because that's pretty much what we want to be in Thursday.
Okay.
If you're not in pain, you're not going hard enough. And then every now and then we sprinkle in a hot dog run,
Well,
so we cook up for, the amount of hot dogs we target and then set the timer for 10 minutes and we go.
I mean, it's crazy. You're talking about drinking 2 gallons of water. How long does that take?
Yeah. Depends. On a good day, I've hit it in 6 minutes. On a really good day, 4 minutes. On a bad day, 9 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
So it just depends.
I tried to drink
anyway,
it.
I try to keep it within 10 minutes.
I tried to drink a gallon of water one day. It took me all day. I mean, that's a lot of water to put in your system.
that's also a smart thing to do. Yeah, right. You're also not a competitive eater. I mean, right. You can do a gallon in a day.
I'm not. We're talking to Juan Rodriguez, One More Bite. He'll be competing at Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest Thursday live on national TV. Now, Joey Chestnut was the champion last year. He ate 74 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know if he really ate 74 hot dogs, but that's what the records say.
Now, do you pay attention to him, or are you just doing your own thing? You're in a zone.
I'm in a zone. I put headphones on for that specific reason, so I don't have to lose focus. I have a playlist that's timed up to, I know it's 10 minutes long. And, you know, once it's over, you know, I can figure out my rhythm and technique. I try not to pay attention to anyone but myself.
Hold on a second.
If I look away for one, sorry.
Well, Juan, let me ask Don this. Don, if you're a competitive eater, Don, what's your go-to song? What are you opening up with to eat your first hot dog?
I actually think the Beat It, Eat It that we just heard, Weird Al.
Eat It, Weird Al?
Yeah, I think that would probably do it for me.
Okay. Juan, what is your first song, your go-to song, right when you start the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on Thursday on live on national TV?
It's called Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Oh, great tune!
Yeah, that's my first track, and then it just gets me wired, and just takes off from there.
Do you put the Rocky theme in there anywhere?
No, I try not to, because sometimes, you know, certain songs get me off focus. So I got to keep ones that just, you know, heavy riffs, guitar, you know, heavy drum beats or guitars, just something that can just keep my focus and my heart rate up. So Rocky would just get me to, I'd probably start goofing around like an idiot on stage or something.
And what did you finish last year in Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest?
I think I finished eighth. With 32.
Okay. So. Now, they said that Joey Chestnut broke a record last year at 74 hot dogs with the bun. You don't believe it?
It's just a joke, because, you know, at the time of the completion of the contest, he had 64 down, and all of a sudden there was a miscount, and they added 10 more hot dogs. I don't know how a judge could be that like bad at his job and miss two plates of hot dogs.
Well, 65 hot dogs is still pretty impressive, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's just, I'm just that guy that's going to, you know, cause controversy and, you know, poke the horse. Poke the bear, excuse me.
Did you hear about the 30 for 30 with Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi?
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to watch it before we left the house. We're going to try to watch it once we get in New York. We're both really excited to see it. My girlfriend actually has a speaking part of it. If you watch it, she's motivating Joey backstage at last year's contest. So her name's Sarah Reinecke. So look out for her. She's going to do some damage in the women's contest.
Well, Juan, I saw a clip of the 30 for 30, and people were crying backstage, and I want to say Kobayashi was one of the guys crying. Why would you cry at a hot dog eating contest?
You know, I'd have to see that footage, and maybe that's one of his earlier years. I have no idea why people would be crying. I mean,
okay,
who knows? You know, but I mean, unless they got, if they felt they got robbed, if they felt they were deducted hot dogs when they shouldn't have been, I could see people being upset. I mean, it's a serious thing. We're up there, we're busting our butts to, be, you know, against the best of the best, and if we felt that we've been wrong, yeah, we're going to be pretty upset about it.
Do you like Joey Chestnut? You think he's a nice guy?
Yeah, you know, Joey is a nice guy. I told, you know, like, him and I have a weird relationship, and it's gotten stronger over the years. You know, the running joke is, Joey, I'm not a douche chestnut. That's his nickname.
What do you get for taking first place live on national TV?
$10,000. And then everyone places, I think it's the top 10 now get prize money, so which is nice. So even if we can't crack that top 5, we all know we're walking away with some money.
So you get a free trip there, they set you up in a hotel, you're on live on national TV, and you get some cash. Yep. I mean, that's a pretty good gig, brother.
Hell yeah, it is. And I love interacting with the fans. That's another reason why I love going back. They all remember us. Like, they recognize our faces. You know, this is my seventh year competing there. So when I step out, even when I'm in the street watching the women's contest,
right,
people are screaming, one more bye. Like, that's crazy to me that, you know, they're diehards, and I love it. Because then I'll sit and have a chat with them, you know. If they're going to come out and watch us, at least I could do is spend 5 minutes of my day talking with them.
Sure, I get it. Don, you want to jump in? You got a question for Juan More Bite Rodriguez?
I do. Thanks, Pete. Well, I'm curious. You know, you mentioned you saved the chewing of the hot dogs till later. My question is, like, when you're taking them down quickly early on, do you even taste, like, the hot dogs reading, or is it so quick that you don't even really get any taste?
No, I do. But I also tried, I use a strawberry flavoring, like Crystal Light in my water. Oh. So that way it helps kind of mask the flavor towards the end, because, you know, it's so much sodium and grease, it just can be very tiresome. But in the early stages, I do taste it, and it does taste good for, like, the first 10 to 15. And then after that, it's just, like, you're blacked out, and you're just trying to shovel it all down.
Right, for sure.
Oh, man. I love having you on every single year. And the year that you came in the studio. By the way, how tall are you? Explain your physique to people.
I'm 5'7". I weigh all of 169 pounds. And, you know, they call me like a Greek goddess of competitive eating.
You're
a Greek god. Sorry.
You are rock. You are rock solid. Right. This is your job. I love it. Juan, good luck. We'll be watching Thursday live on national TV in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. As always, I'll gladly give you a little bit of my time.
All right. Thanks, brother. Good luck. All right. That is Juan More Bite Rodriguez. He'll be competing live Thursday on national TV. God. Joey Chestnut, 74 dogs. That's so disgusting.
Unreal.
What did he say his personal best was? 36 or 28? I can't remember, but still. Anything over 20 is a win.
I would think so, yeah.
And he's probably going to get, what, $1,000 if he finishes in the top 10?
Yeah, that's nice that they expanded to the top 10. That's great.
Free trip to New York. I mean, this is a national television event. This will be national news on Thursday. You'll hear about it right here on WGN. It'll be a national news story. Joey Chestnut first faced off against Kobayashi at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on July 4th, 2005. That year, Kobayashi took first place with 49 hot dogs. Chestnut came in third. The following year, Chestnut came in second. And then, of course, he overtook it. And last year, he broke the record at 74 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. That's ridiculous.
It's like, it's such mythical proportions. It's ridiculous.
And all these guys, they're in great shape. I mean, if you saw Juan, he is rock solid.
It's like you said, it's about body control. That amount of consumption of food in that short of time is like as extreme as anything lifting or athletic.
It can't be good in the long run.
I wouldn't think so.
Can't be good. I mean, not at all.
Yeah, I just don't know how you digest all of that.
Even if you were eating 74 like salads or kales, you know, I don't even think that's great. But hot dogs, what are we doing?
Oh man, do you make yourself throw up afterwards? No, you can't do that. That'll really screw up your system and your teeth. You're just down in Tom's and Pepto Bismol.
Oh my God, that just sounds terrible. I'm sorry.
It's for the love of the competition.
It is for the love of the competition. We all have Tums in our glove compartment, right?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I have some in my purse.
You're Greek, of course. It's part of your makeup. It is. Well, I mean, not your makeup. I mean, your body makeup. You have to have Tums. I'm Lebanese. I carry them everywhere. They're in my backpack, in my glove compartment, at my house.
Your pocket. You walk around.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'd like to welcome in our police chief. 4th of July, traditionally violent here in Chicago. We're hoping to change that. It's Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Thanks for coming on so late, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good, Pete. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask about the vandalism, first of all, at Millennium Park on Monday night, the bean and the cancer wall at Maggie Daly Park. Why would anyone even think about vandalizing with all the cameras around and the police officers in Millennium Park?
Yeah, that's just, it's ridiculous. You know, to try to destroy an iconic statue like that is just mind-boggling to me. But fortunately, police responded quickly, so I think there are 7 individuals in custody right now. And, you know, we should prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, because here's what we have to do in this city. When we have things of this nature occur, just like the violent crimes, we have to hold people accountable. So hopefully, you know, we'll get the help on the judicial side of it and hold these individuals accountable.
14 million people visit Millennium Park every single year. You think police always, every time I'm down there patrolling, I just don't get it.
Yeah, and the police were fortunately right there. You know, we have tons of cameras in the downtown area, so it's just mind-boggling that individuals would even try to do things of that nature in that particular part of the city.
And I got to tell you, the CPD didn't get enough credit for Sunday. No incidents at the Pride Parade. I mean, how many people were down there, Eddie? A million?
Yeah, it was somewhere close to that. But, you know, the people were having a good time. And you know, Pete, I always say, we have no issues with anybody enjoying any parts of this city. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. Just do it responsibly and with no mischief involved. And we're fine. You know, so
right.
It was a good day. Everybody enjoyed themselves, so I'm appreciative of that.
4th of July is Thursday. Now, before I ask what the police are doing, let me ask you what we can do as a city to help you.
So what the city can do to help me, again, you know, usually there's a lot of drinking going on during the 4th of July period. So I would say drink responsibly, enjoy yourselves, but remember to drink responsibly. If you all see anything that looks out of place, please, it doesn't matter how small you think it is, give us a call and let us know and let us ensure that it's nothing to be concerned about.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the CPD, we're probably going to see more cops on the street. Community involvement. What else?
So you're going to see a lot more cops after high visibility in some of the touristy areas, of course, along the lakefront. But then you'll have a lot of undercover officers out there during these 4 or 5 days. So they'll be just down there to, they'll be our eyes and ears to tell us if anything is going on so we can respond quickly to it. You know, the historical spots that we have issues in, of course, you'll see a large police presence in those areas. But again, you know, the lakefront, the downtown area is always a place where people want to go, Michigan Avenue.
Right.
So you'll see a lot of police officers on bicycles. You'll see the mounted unit down there. And then, of course, foot officers, you know. And like I said, Pete, nobody is restricted from coming down there. It's just we want you to behave like responsible individuals.
Right. Just be responsible.
That's all. That's
yes.
All.
Now, you and Mayor Lightfoot, I talked to you Memorial Day weekend. You were out all weekend long with her. Is that going to be the case for 4th of July?
Yes. So both of us will be out around, you know, all parts of the city during the different days. We're actually starting on the 3rd of July, so 3rd, 4th, and 5th. You'll actually see us in various places around the city.
Okay. What's a successful summer holiday weekend for you?
Well, if this were a perfect world, a successful one would be nobody getting hurt, nobody shot or killed. That's what I call a success. You know, we have our challenges during the holiday weekends around the city, you know, historically. You know, we had a bad weekend this past weekend. 51 people shot.
Right.
And, of course, 5 killed. You know, and we can do better as a city. We can just do better. You know, so in terms of success, I would like to see 0 numbers across the board. Now, that might be reaching for the stars, but you have to do that, you know, in order to get it somewhere where, you know, not that it would be satisfactory, but that's something that is not as horrible as some of the past weekends we've seen.
Does it bother you or trouble you that people have become immune to hearing 50-plus people being shot over a weekend?
Yeah, it does, Pete, to be quite honest, because there should be outrage in all parts of our city when we hear numbers like that.
Right.
That's not normal. And,
no.
And it's, you know, it's unfortunate that our kids have to grow up in certain parts of the city thinking that that is normal. There's nothing normal about that. So we have to galvanize our resources together as a city and to be quite honest, as a country, because we, knock on wood, right now we're seeing our violent crime reduce, and we've seen it reduce since 2016. A lot of places around the country are seeing it go up. And so, you know, we as a nation, we just have to be serious about our gun laws, you know, and it's just common sense things
yep.
that we need to do, like universal background checks. What is so difficult about that? You know, when you sell your car to someone, what's the first thing you have to go do? You have to go make a paper trail.
Of course.
And let everybody know that you're selling that car. I don't understand for the life of me why we don't do that with firearms. That's the one tool that can easily take somebody's life. And we just treat it you know, like it's an ink pen. I think that we just have to do better at common sense laws. You know, I don't advocate taking weapons, guns away from people that can legally own them. You know, I don't have an issue with the Second Amendment. What I do have an issue with is all the illegal guns in our city and all the people that are willing to use them.
We have this conversation every single time we talk. What's the solution or what's the next step where we go with illegal handguns or offenders, second, third time offenders with guns?
So these second and third time offenders, we need our judicial partners to create a mental culture that they won't want to carry these guns in our city. It's ridiculous to me that the police keep arresting these individuals and they keep going back to court and they keep getting out. Now, I'm not saying that we should have just a no bond system. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that it's incumbent on us to make sure that they know there's a consequence, because people mistakenly think gun offenders make the decision to pull the trigger when they're in the heat of that moment. They make the decision to pull that trigger when they leave home that morning and they take that gun with them.
You're right.
Because if they didn't have the gun with them, then they couldn't pull the trigger.
Yep.
So we just have to create a culture in this city where if you do choose to take an illegal gun out there in our streets, there's going to be a consequence to it. You know, a $100 fine and you get out on bond just simply isn't going to do it. So all I'm saying is let's let the people of Chicago decide what they want to see in terms of bond amounts. You know, I just think we have to make it a consequence to them for them to decide not to take that gun out of the house.
100%. We're talking with Chicago Police Chief Eddie Johnson. Fireworks are against the law here in Illinois. How much are you going to be cracking down?
Fireworks, you know, it cracks me up, though. It tickles me sometimes that people think firing off handguns during New Year's Eve and shooting off fireworks on the 4th of July are the 2 days that it's legal to do it. Well, it's not. You know, so if we see you out there doing it, be prepared to suffer the consequence. You know, now we have a lot of things going on around the city, of course, that requires our attention.
Right.
But the illegal fireworks, I don't think people understand. You can kill somebody or seriously injure somebody with those fireworks. So, yeah, so we'll be making arrests when it's necessary.
Did a young Eddie Johnson ever light fireworks in the city of Chicago?
Not so much in the city of Chicago. I spent, my family is from southern Alabama, so I spent a lot of time down there during the summertime when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I would do it down there. Now, maybe a couple of times here, in full disclosure, you know, because kids are going to be kids, you know, and I understand that. But it wasn't a normal thing, no.
Are fireworks against the law in Alabama, too?
No, they are not.
Okay.
No, they are not. No, Alabama, you can fire away.
That's good to know. And how is your health? You had that blood clot last month?
Yeah, you know, I went in for a routine stress test. All of that was fine, and then they ran tests because of that and happened to find the blood clot. So I am very thankful for the doctors over at Rush Hospital for finding it. I wasn't feeling bad or anything like that. They did some x-rays, some tests, and they found it. So I'm very thankful that they did, and we're treating it now with medication. So everything's all good.
Well, we're glad you're doing well, and I appreciate you coming on every single time we ask. And good luck this weekend. We'll be
doing
our best, and we'll get the word out here on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
Eddie Johnson, everybody. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, bye-bye.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Eddie Johnson. He's just trying, man. He's doing his best. I sincerely appreciate him coming on every time we ask, and around the holidays, he's always gracious enough to come on, especially this late. Up and away, my beautiful, balloon. You ever been in a balloon? Anyone? 312-981-7200. Vivi, have you?
Nope, I have never.
I don't think I've ever been near a balloon.
I have. A couple years back, I think I was in Kankakee, actually.
Okay.
But I never went. The line was too long.
Friday, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Hometown Voices Tour, Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. Jane and I will be out in Lyle. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
You excited?
Eyes to the Skies Festival. This Friday, we're going to be broadcasting from 3 to 6. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away some 4-packs. 312-981-7200. If you live out west near Lyle or in Lyle, Naperville, Woodridge, the big DG, we'll give you a 4-pack of tickets. We'd love for you to come out. They have great music out there all weekend long. They have unbelievable food all weekend long. It was interesting. We were talking about this before the show. What did Adam, our engineer, who's going to be working on site, talk about for Lyle's Eyes in the Sky? The first thing he brought up.
What did he bring up?
He said it's the greatest food ever.
Oh, that's right.
It's the greatest food ever.
And food that you'll never eat.
I said butterfly pork chop. I'm all over it. I love it. I feel like there's certain festival foods you can only get at festivals in summertime. It's something about the cold beer and the warm air and you're hanging out. And of course, don't forget, you can enjoy hot air balloon launches, weather-dependent tethered balloon rides. That means you don't have to go all the way up. They'll have a tether there. Nightly fireworks, craft fair, and much, much more. All the proceeds benefit local charities. Again, Jane and I broadcasting live this Friday from 3 to 6. You can go to the events page at WGNradio.com for more details. If you'd like to go, 312-981-7200. Rich, where do you live? You live out there?
I live LaGrange.
LaGrange, all right. Have you been to the Eyes of the Sky Festival?
No, I haven't.
This is all people have been talking about the last 2 weeks at WGN Radio. They've been saying, you're going to love it. You're going to go crazy. Live music, the food's off the charts, and the balloons, especially up close, you're going to love them. Rich, we're going to set you up with a four-pack. We'll see you on Friday. Okay.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Thank you, brother. All right. 312-981-7200. Also, you can text in if you want to do that. Okay. Eyes to the Sky. 312-981-7200. I don't know if I'm going to do the balloon ride. I'm going to do the tethered one to start.
Why not? You think you should do it?
I'm going to do the tethered one. I'm going to start out slow. You've been up in a balloon?
No, I've never been.
I know there's these huge constricted areas like the big basket that you can get in, but I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
I was just watching The Ugly Truth the other night.
What is that?
It's a movie with Katherine Heigl and, Gerald something.
Gerard
Butler. Yep, Gerald Butler.
Gerard Butler.
Gerard
Butler. Who said that? Where did that voice come from?
That was, wait, that was Tom. Tom Hush. Always helping me out.
Is that Hush back there?
Yeah.
He's a movie buff.
Gerald.
Okay, was there hot air balloons?
Yeah, towards the end of the movie. Yeah.
Now, what did they do? Did they go up in the balloon?
Yeah, they just went up on the balloon and they made up. They were arguing the entire, half of the show. Half of the movie,
So was it a rom-com, a romantic comedy? Is that what it was?
Yeah, a romantic comedy. Really good. I recommend it to people that want to watch a romantic comedy.
Okay.
It was good.
All right. 312-981-7200. I'll take a quick break and we'll get two more callers coming up next. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN. You can visit the events page at WGNradio.com for all the details on the Lyle Eyes to the Sky Festival. Jane and I, Jane Manzouris and myself will be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 p.m. We have four packs of tickets to give away. Mary, where are you calling from?
Naperville.
Hey, my sister Mary lives in Naperville. How about that?
I'm not your sister.
I know you're not my sister, but that's very interesting. We have a four-pack of tickets for you. This will be a lot of fun. Have you been before?
I have, and it's very cool.
Seeing
the balloons is very cool.
Well, they just handed me the stats on the balloon. To see the balloons in real life, it's pretty breathtaking, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, the past few years, they haven't, because of weather, they haven't been able to fly them too much. But just seeing them all lined up is quite impressive.
It says, depending on the weight capacity, balloons may be as tall as 100 feet. Between 70 and 100 feet, most balloons are larger than your house. Wow.
Yes.
And they're all lined up? Are they all lined up right there?
Oh, yeah. They have a, what do they call it, the glow, the balloon glow. I think it's 6 p.m. They light them all up, and it's very cool.
Oh, that's right. We have the Balloon Meister coming on at 5:35 on Friday. He's going to explain everything, and then they do the glow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, Mary, hold on. We'll set you up with a four-pack of tickets.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Let's go to Jody. Jody, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm from Highland Park.
Highland Park. So you're going to make it over to the Lyle Eyes of the Sky Festival.
Sounds great. Fan. Sounds fun.
I love it. Hold on, Jody. We'll set you up with
a four-pack
of tickets. Oh, look at this. Sunny!
Hello.
Sonny, is it S-O or S-U? I hope you spell it S-U-N-N-Y.
No, it's not. I spell it S-O-N-N-Y.
Yes, of course. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pilsen in Chicago.
Pilsen. Have you been to the Lyle Eyes of the Sky Festival?
I have never been to the Lyle Eyes of the Sky Festival.
You're going to love it, man. Live music. You can get some beer while you're there, have some festival food, and check out the balloons, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sonny. And let's go to Mary Adams. Mary, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Where are you calling from?
South side of Chicago.
South side of Chicago. You're going to drive out to Lyle?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
I love it. Have you been out there before?
Yes, I have. The first year.
Okay. Well, tell me what you saw. How was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. I was able to hop into a balloon because I needed some extra weight. So I was able to hop in the balloon and take a small ride. They didn't go up very high, but it was really a lot of fun.
Are you afraid of heights?
No.
So it was okay to go up in the balloon?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to say that I'm chicken, but I'm going to do the tethered one first just so I have... a link to the ground. You know what I mean?
It's fantastic.
Okay. All right.
It's the rush that you get from going up there and looking down and everything.
Yes, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's beautiful. I love it. Mary, we'll see you on Friday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll have some more tickets to give away after midnight again. The Lyle Eyes of the Sky Festival. Jane and I broadcasting live Friday from 3 to 6. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Quick break. We'll check bottom of the hour news. And then we are going to talk to Melissa Etheridge, who has a brand new album out. Love Melissa. It's been a while since we've talked to her. I'm looking forward to it. It's 720 WGN.
Chicago stories told 24/7. 720 WGN. This is 720 WGN Chicago.
By the way, if you're headed out to Lyle on Friday, please stop by the broadcast booth and say hello to Jane and myself. Can you do that, please? 312-981-7200, our phone number. Again, we'll have those to give away after midnight. But again, yes, we are broadcasting live. It starts at 3 o'clock and we're done at 6 because they do the glow ceremony at 6 o'clock, and we all want to be able to watch that.
I'm so jealous. I wish I was there.
You're doing John's show
John
on
Williams,
Friday.
Yep.
So
yep.
You can drive out there.
Right after the show?
Yeah, you can hang out.
It'll take me like 15 hours of Chicago traffic.
So when you saw the balloons in real life, I am maybe a little nervous. I'm not afraid of heights, but it takes me an adjustment period, if that makes sense. Because as you get older, you're not... You know, you're not climbing on the house or you're not climbing trees, so you're not used to heights or you're not doing roller coasters.
Speaking of roller coasters, you see the new one that came out that opened up today? What is it called again?
I did not.
It was going like 78 miles an hour in like 2 seconds.
Where? At Six Flags?
Six Flags, yeah. Today was like the opening of it.
You can tell me about that.
Yeah, I will.
Are you a roller coaster person too?
At first, I never really enjoyed them because I was scared of heights. But throughout time, I think I adjusted to them. So, yeah, I like roller coasters now. I overcame my fears.
I think I'll sit out the roller coasters and I'll do the tethered balloon on Friday. All right, coming up next, we will talk to Melissa Etheridge, who has a new album up. But first, let's take a look at news. Did not come
here to save some. Her new album is entitled The Medicine Show. It rocks. She'll be in Elk Grove Village this Thursday for the 4th of July. One of our favorites. We'd like to welcome back to the show. It's Melissa Etheridge. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. How are you?
I think I need to congratulate you. You just had a daughter that graduated from college.
Woo! Man, that's something. I'm so proud of her. She's a real hard worker, and I'm so proud of her.
Do we all turn into our parents? Do you have that moment when your daughter was graduating? It's like, oh my God, I've turned into my parents.
Oh, indeed. No, I realized that with my first children the first few years when I finally said, because I said so, you know, you start saying those things that you definitely sound like your parents. And then you kind of start understanding your parents more. You're like, oh, this is why they got so weird about that. Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting that you say that, Melissa, because I had a moment when my son was born. We only have one child. He's 13 now. And I called up my mother, who had 12 children, by the way. And I said, Ma, I finally get it. She starts laughing and then hangs up on me.
I never gave my parents that satisfaction, but that's okay.
We have one child. My son, Charlie, just graduated from eighth grade. My wife was very stoic. I got completely choked up because I thought, wow, this is it. 4 more years and he's off to college. Now, you have 4 children, right?
Yes. That I know of.
You have 4 kids. You have 4 kids. This is the first one that's going to go away. So you still have 3 more.
Yeah. So I'm not empty nesting at all.
Okay.
I've got, my 2 youngest are going into 7th grade. So I've got, 5 more years.
Yep.
But it does go fast. And you know what? I don't think you ever stop becoming a parent. I know that my oldest is up and out and got a job in New York City, but I'm still parenting. I guess it becomes like that mentor parent, the
right.
one that they can call and say, hey, how does this work? What's this? And, if they got a broken heart or if they're, scared or whatever. And you just constantly show up. You're just there for them.
Do they know that their mother's a rock star? Do they pay attention to that? Or are you just mom? They don't care.
They kind of, the older ones, as they enter society more, they kind of start to kind of get it. My kids grew up with it. They knew that strangers would know who I was.
Right.
And they're like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know who that was, but they know me. And so they grew up with fame and understood it. But, I was always just mama to them. That's what I do. And, rockstardom is just a fun job I have that allows us to travel all over and live in a really nice house and get to go to restaurants and stuff. But,
right.
But, other than that, a total, it's mom. I need to go to school to pick this up. You show up for this and that. And, it's just, I do have a unique job, but
right.
It doesn't define who I am.
We're talking with Melissa Etheridge. I love this new album, The Medicine Show. You rock out on the title track. I mean, this is so good. I'm a huge fan of yours, but did you go into this thinking, I got to make a rock album, or did it just come naturally?
Yes and yes. I went into this saying, I want to make that album that is just the way that I make albums, which is I want to write some songs. I want to make some music that comes from me. I want it to be fun. I love rock and roll. That's my comfort zone. And so when it came actually to this song, The Medicine Show, which is one of the last songs I wrote, I knew I wanted to sing it at the top of my lungs. I knew I wanted it to be one of those songs that the crowd could sing with me. It was a, the subject matter was kind of a rock subject matter
by right.
getting arrested at the border for cannabis. And just wanted to, I wanted to present it in that fashion. So yeah, it's a rocking album. That's still part of me.
You pulled music from your life. How does it work for you? I mean, if you're shopping at Target and a song comes to you, do you have to immediately put it in your phone or jot it down? How does that work?
Yeah, boy, I love the phones now. Used to be I had to carry a pen and a piece of paper, but
right.
I love the voice memo on the phone. It's just a great invention. Of course, the most inspirational times are either when I'm in the shower or when I'm driving. And it's just the two worst. You can't
right.
stop. So, but yeah, I try to grab what I can. I find inspiration wherever I can in either song or rhythm or lyric or thought or idea. That's where they all start. But usually then I have to give myself, okay, I'm going to give myself, 4 hours today where I'm going to try to flesh out some of these songs.
Why is it that we come up with ideas in the shower and when we're driving? Is it because we're kind of a meditative state?
Yes.
Or is that why?
I actually have thought a lot about that. And I think that the shower is that water and this sort of, you know, you're cleaning, and it's this, I mean, it's the reason we sing in the shower. There's this sort of, like you said, meditative state that we get into.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 things all pop into my head. And then driving, yeah, again, you're in this state where your left brain is just busy, you know, staying in the lane and driving. And so your right brain's like, ooh, let's think of all kinds of wonderful, inspirational things that we can do.
And they just come to you. You'll be in Elk Grove Village for the 4th of July. Do you like touring? Because I feel like you're always on tour.
Yes, and yes, I do. I love what I do. You know, singing my songs for people is why I do what I do. And, you know, and again, I had a daughter that just went to 4 years of college, so I still yeah. need to, you know, support my family.
Right.
So, you know,
we're all
that,
doing the same thing.
Where,
sure.
Yeah, you know, and that's the bread and butter right there is the touring. So thank goodness I love what I do.
Well, is it hard to get acclimated back home after you're done touring?
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, get into bed and roll over in the morning and dial zero for room service when it's, you know, you're home. It doesn't quite work that way. But, once you land, I know I've been in that house for, goodness, 12 years now. So I know where everything is. So I can pretty much go home and land pretty well.
Gotcha. We're talking with Melissa Etheridge. I just saw the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field. Are you still a fan of that band?
Oh, you know what? I've never seen them live, but yeah, I love.
What?
I love what they're doing. You know, I love that they keep touring, and I say, as long as he goes, I can go.
Well, Mick is 75, and I couldn't believe the energy he brought on stage. But after the show, I was talking to my wife on the way home. We were talking about how Mick is 75. Who takes over for these bands that we grew up with, like the Rolling Stones or Bruce Springsteen or Aretha Franklin, who was performing up until she got sick? It's people like you. So I don't want to give you any pressure, but you got to carry the torch after they're all gone.
My pleasure. I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it as long as I can. And you'll never hear me say retiring, because that's like saying I'm going to stop breathing. So I love making music. I'll be making music and up in front of people until I just can't anymore.
I can't believe you've never seen the Rolling Stones in concert.
I know, isn't that weird? I really have to, and especially, I mean, they're saying that this is their last concert.
I mean,
so
come on.
I should try to go see them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they've been saying this is their last show since the mid-90s, but you just never know. Has there been an artist that you've always wanted to see and you finally got a chance to see them and actually meet them?
Well, yeah. I mean, my hero was Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And I got to, in 94, he came on my MTV Unplugged and he sang with me. So that was like a dream come true.
How nervous were you for that? I remember that like it's yesterday.
It was out of my mind. Every time I listen to the recording or watch the video of me introducing him, I can hear my breath getting a little more, you know, panicked or whatever of, oh my God, I'm about to introduce Bruce Springsteen. And I just take forever. And it's just as beautiful. And I get nervous now when I listen to it.
I want you to know that you're an inspiration for a lot of people, just not through your music. But we had a cancer run here in Chicago. I was with my four siblings who are cancer survivors, and we all ran in the 5K race it was a cancer survivors race. So everybody was super happy. They were super pumped to be there. And I'm like, I got to put together a playlist that I can run this 5K to. And I put your song from the Grammy Awards on there when you scream Piece of My Heart, right?
Yeah.
As I was rounding the corner on Lakeshore, because you run along the lake to the finish line, I put that song on and you brought me home. I just want you to know that.
All right. I love being an inspiration. That's awesome. You know what? I do have a lot of beautiful people that come up to me and tell me that actually that performance, Grammy performance, you know, which was 15 years ago,
wow.
And it's still, well, 14 years ago, and it's people still talk about it. And I'm just so grateful to have been able to do that and to be able to say I'm, you know, 14 years cancer free.
Isn't that great? It's just fantastic. Well, good luck with the new album, and I'm sure that we will see you on this tour. The new album is called The Medicine Show. Always, you know, you're always in a great mood when we have you on the radio. You're always happy.
Hey, you know what? I get to sing and play music for a living, so I should be in a good mood.
Yes. Yeah. Melissa Etheridge, thanks for coming on, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I love Melissa Etheridge. I don't know how it happened, but years ago, we got introduced through a mutual friend, and she comes on the radio all the time. She is just salt of the earth. Just a normal person. God, I love that. I could talk to her forever. We're all doing the same thing. We're working and we're trying to get our kids through school. Look at that. That's why she's still on the road. I love it. It's fantastic. So thanks again to Melissa. And we'll have that posted after the show, too. I got to send that to my buddies. I love Melissa Etheridge. She's so good in concert. She's the female Bruce Springsteen. And she loves that compliment.
And she looks great.
She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you're performing on stage every, you know, three nights, four nights a week, you're going to be in great shape. You're going to be sweating. You're carrying around a guitar. You're singing and belting it out. What a great workout that would be.
Seriously, I wish I could do that.
I know I keep talking about the, I know I keep talking about the Stones, but that was such a great show at Soldier Field, and those guys weigh 90 pounds. They are the skinniest people in real life. Ron Wood. Somebody get him a cookie. He needs to eat something. Great news. Do you eat cookie dough?
Yes.
Nestle Toll House just announced pints of raw cookie dough. So you can actually buy the pint at the grocery store.
Oh, we gotta love this.
It contains no eggs, which is safe to eat. So here is the question. I've eaten raw cookie dough forever. You're not supposed to eat it because of the raw eggs in there. It could cause salmonella. Mm. But no one thinks about that.
Who reads into that anyway?
What?
It tastes so good.
No, this is a fact. It is a fact. So we've been eating raw cookie dough forever.
And look at us. Did we die? No, we're still here.
And you're not supposed to.
We survived.
I know. I love raw cookie dough.
I love it.
I mean, I used to go to my friend's house in high school, Tommy Costa, and we used to go over to his house, and everybody would have a roll of cookie dough, and we'd sit there and watch TV.
Wait, what about the ice cream cookie dough? What about that?
That's fine.
Yeah, but it's still cookie dough, so are they serving us?
Well, it's not the actual cookie dough. It's cookie, I don't know. I'm making things up. But it's mixed with, is it fermented? Right? Is that what they do?
I don't know.
Yes, that is. It doesn't have the raw eggs in there.
Just agree and say that was a good question, Vivi.
Right. That was a very good question, but I don't think there's raw eggs. There is not raw eggs in ice cream. Definitely not. But the pints of raw cookie dough by Nestle Toll House. Wow. That is fantastic. What raw foods do you eat? 312-981-7200. I've eaten raw. Let's see. I mean, oysters, clams, that's considered raw, right? You would consider that? Okay. Raw fish, salmon. I had salmon today.
Ooh, I love salmon.
It was raw, right?
Yeah. Do you like sushi?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I love sushi, so that's raw.
I had sushi two nights ago. I had the Jewel sushi. Does that count?
I had the Mariana sushi.
Okay, that counts. All right. It's so easy, and you can just run into the grocery store and grab
it. Shopping.
And sometimes I eat it in the store, or I eat it in my car.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's just wonderful.
What a life we live.
You know, that wasn't available years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, it just happened. Pete, you're on WGN. Hi.
Oh, we love the cookie dough, and then we crack a raw egg and put it in the bottom of a beer and throw it in the beer and suck that down, too, on top of that. I've never had salmonella in my life. So
why do you put the raw egg in the beer?
I don't do it all the time. It's one of those like special occasion things. You know, you do it once in a while. It's kind of like, you know, every so often you do a cigar. You know, you don't know why you do it. You just do it. You know, if you got to enjoy life, you only got one time to go around. Just do it.
Right.
You know? It's not gonna, yeah.
Didn't Rocky? Rocky did six raw eggs in Rocky One.
Yes. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, those bodybuilders, because I spent 24 years in the Navy, and they would do the raw eggs every day. That was a little too much for me, for sure.
Right.
I mean, and most of those guys are still alive, too. So, I mean, you know, what doesn't hurt you makes you stronger. I heard something like that once before or something.
I'm with you, Pete. Thanks for your call. 312-981-7200. What raw foods have you eaten? Steak tartare. 815 area code. Steak tartare, yeah. Raw steak. Okay, I've had that. Tuna tartare.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, yeah, they dress it up and put the stuff on it.
Yeah.
Man.
That's like poke bowl, too. Like, you know those poke bowls?
Who?
Poke.
What is that?
It's like it's tuna or various type of fish.
Oh, in those in those like plastic bowls. My mm-hmm. wife buys those all the time.
I love that.
You got the edamame, in there, and what else? I don't know what it is, like, but I eat it.
Yeah, it's so good. You kind of mix it up all together, and it's like a salad, but it has like more flavor.
785 area code. We eat German raw hamburger. So good with beer.
Wait, raw hamburgers?
The a Middle Eastern dish is raw lamb with cracked wheat. My mother makes that all the time.
Raw lamb?
Raw lamb, ground lamb with spices mixed with cracked wheat. And then you you put oil on it, and you take pita bread and you eat it. Oh God, it's so good. My mouth is watering. It's so good. I know it sounds.
I just can't picture it.
It looks like a raw meatloaf, but it's not. My buddy Peoria Joe will eat a raw onion like an apple.
Oh wow!
He loves raw onions. He said, "Hey, it's good for me. Clear my sinuses."
Yeah, it's good for the heart. Onions are good for the heart.
I know, but think about that. Walking around with the, you know, the bad breath.
The breath, too, yeah. Does he have Tic Tacs with him?
I hope so. What is German raw hamburger?
I have no idea.
I don't know if I do the raw ground beef. I don't know if I do that. Wow. 312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. What raw foods? Nestle's Toll House just announced pints of raw cookie dough. It contains no eggs, so it is now safe. Could you imagine the people that are going to buy a pint and down that sucker before they get home? It's so good.
I'll be one of those people.
How rich is that? I wonder how many grams of sugar. Just thinking about it, I think I gained 2 pounds.
I wonder if they went to Shark Tank to get this out. That's a good idea.
That's where everybody goes.
That's where everybody goes.
Well, how come it took them so long to think about, hey, if we take the eggs out, people are going to eat this all the time. This will be good, which I had no idea. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got to get these in before 12, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's do that right now. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-981-7200, our phone number, talking about what raw foods do you eat? 312 area code, raw steak, thin slices with Worcestershire sauce. That actually sounds pretty good. Raw steak, I think I'll eat it every day of the week. I'm okay with that. Uncooked hot dogs.
Oh, no way.
What?
No.
Why? They're already cooked. I mean, they're fine. I do uncooked hot dogs. Absolutely. 847, my mom was of German ancestry, and she ate cannibal sandwiches, raw ground beef, onions on rye. I worked with two people, both of German ancestry, who enjoyed the raw ground beef sandwiches. And I'm sure they lived forever. 847, note, the raw ground beef sandwiches are made with cold beef right from the fridge, usually 85% lean or better. Yeah, you're probably right. I couldn't do raw ground beef, though.
No.
I mean, if I was paid to do it, absolutely.
But how much? Would you do it for $1,000?
I would probably do it for 20, maybe 10, in a cold beer with an egg in it. all right. We'll have more Lyle Eyes of the Skies tickets to give away after 12 o'clock. Vic, what are you doing for the fireworks?
I think I'm going to make a quick trip out to Woodstock to see the family and then get back for the Chicago show.
Do you light fireworks over
no,
the 4th?
I don't. No, I don't. Mm-mm. Well, you know, if I lived out in the suburbs, I probably would. I live in right behind the station here. I'd be arrested.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. I live not too far from Wrigley, and my neighbor every year puts on an unbelievable display.
So he's one of Nick DiGilio's favorites.
I'm telling you, he spends hundreds, probably
now,
over.
Does he get rid of them all on the 4th of July? He's not one who starts 3 days early.
Oh, I was just going to say he started last night. So I'm laying in bed. We have a skylight in our bedroom, and all of a sudden I see fireworks start going off. I'm like, oh, boy, here we are. We're doing some test runs right now.
It's in Chicago, it starts 2 days early, and you hear them all through the night.
Well, I don't
depending
like
the, on where you live.
I don't like the people that are lighting them off at 1 a.m.
No, I don't either.
You don't need to do that. I understand maybe around 9, 10 o'clock at the latest, but people are going to bed. So a lot of people have to work on Friday. But this guy, I'm serious, he spends probably up to $1,000 on fireworks, and this is his thing. His Super Bowl is lighting fireworks for the entire neighborhood. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. I know when I used to live in Woodstock, I had a house up there, and we had a neighbor in our community who did the same thing, and we'd all show up until the officers did, and we'd quietly and obey and put them all away.
Well, the cops know because he's lived there for 20 years, and they know he's safe, and they'll show up and let him do his deal.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it was in where I lived as well.
Right. I don't know. I like the fact that the neighborhood gets together and everybody's with their family and watching fireworks. I love that part of it.
That's fun.
But not the 1 a.m. fireworks. That's rough stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, man. We're heading out to Lisle on Friday. If you'd like to go, we're doing the Lisle Eyes to the Skies Festival. We have more tickets to give away. We're trying to load these up so we can see you on Friday. Jane and I are going to be broadcasting from 3 to 6. 312-981-7200. Hold on. Where's my music? Give me a second. Where's my up, up, and away music? Mm-hmm. What did you say earlier? Where's this music from? Is that from the movie Up? No. This is a bad...
Wait.
This is a bad 70s tune. Here it is. Up, up, and away. Vinny, you remember the 70s. This was the sound.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can't recall.
Right. The sound. 312-981-7200. We have four packs of tickets to give away. Eyes of the Skies Festival. Balloons are as big as your house. And they have the big glow thing happening at 6 o'clock. This is all new to me. That's why when Jane and I start at 3 o'clock, we're going to bring someone from the festival over and just explain everything that's happening all weekend. And explain the balloons. And we have a balloon meister on. How do you become a balloon meister? That's a guy that's an expert in balloons. If you would become an expert, what would you become an expert in?
That's a good question.
Keep it clean. Keep your minds clean. What would you like to become an expert in? I would like to become an expert on fixing cars because I feel like I would save a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh. Same here. I told you today I got my car got stalled, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Your car was stalled.
My God. What a day.
Yes, I heard about that.
What a day. Mm. It's in the shop now. I don't know what they're doing to it, but...
The electrical went out?
So I had no steering wheel, and I had to press on the emergency brake to stop the car.
Here's the problem. If you're a doctor, a lawyer, or a mechanic, I feel like you can't go to a party without someone cornering you and asking you questions. Seriously. My buddy's a mechanic, and he's like, I can't go anywhere without someone asking me. Or if they're buying a new car, they call him up. Or if they're buying a used car, they'll drive it over to him and have him check it out. Hey, man, do you mind? You got a few minutes.
That's awesome. I mean, I would be one of those.
But they
people.
Don't give him anything for it. Don't you think you'd give someone like a Starbucks card for that? Right?
Just have him stocked and then just, you know, whenever you get the advice, you just give him a card.
Right. I do have a few $25 Starbucks cards
reason. What the heck?
No. You always have to have at least two because you got to thank a lot of people. That's the Chicago way.
Wow, $25 is pretty. It's a lot, too.
You're greasing people. Well, I need a lot of favors. I'm that guy. Hey, do you mind doing this? That would be cool. Yeah, that would be all right. 312-981-7200 if you want to go to the Lisle Eyes of the Skies Festival. We'll set you up with that with a four-pack of tickets. Let's go to Laura. Laura, you're on WGN. Laura, where do you live?
I live in Palos Heights.
Palos Heights? How far is that from Lisle? That's not too far.
Eh. No, I don't think it's a bad ride at all.
Okay. Have you been to the Eyes of the Skies Festival?
No, but I was just telling a friend tonight that why don't we go?
There you go. You got four free tickets. You tell your friend you're taking care of that person.
That's awesome.
Can you get there before 6 o'clock on Friday so we can hang out and talk?
I sure can.
Okay. Do you have a best friend that's a mechanic?
No, actually, the one by our house, the business closed, so we're kind of looking for one also.
Can you ask him why my car is stalling?
Laura, hold on. We'll see you Friday.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. I'm telling you. Phoebe, I'm telling you, that is, it's horrible. It really is. If you're a mechanic,
it's
everybody.
Funny because that's the first question I ask. I'm like, oh, what do you do? Oh, you're a mechanic. Well,
hey,
let me ask you a
I got
questions.
A question for you. My car door, by the way, my driver's car door lock won't lock. So I have to manually lock it.
Every
and
time.
Then, yes. And then when I open it up, I have to go to the passenger side and do the reach over and unlock it. I feel like such a hillbilly. I'm like, hold on a second. Let me get that. But the cool thing is, my wife and I went out the other night. And I'm like, hey, Sarah, do you mind reaching over and locking my door? It's like, why do I have to do that? And I thought to myself, I remember one of our first dates back in the late 90s. She used to do that. Unlock my door and open it up.
Aw.
I miss those days.
That's actually really cute.
That was really nice. She forgot about that. I'm going to have to remind her again when we head out. Yeah.
If it makes you feel better, the passenger's door handle is broken. So
your passenger
the back seat. The back seat on the passenger side.
So they can't get out?
They can't get in. They got to go from the other side.
Oh,
my
geez.
Friend Drake broke it like a couple years back, and I haven't fixed it.
A couple years?
I know.
See, that's why you got to find a guy. Yes, definitely so. My brother had a car, a Mercury Cougar, where it wouldn't start if you sat on the seat.
Wait, what?
Because something happened with the seatbelts. First, the seatbelt, you had to have the seatbelt on, first of all, to start the car. It wouldn't start. But then after a while, it shorted out. So you'd have to, we'd say, okay, everybody hump up. So the two people in the front seats, you'd have to hump up and get off the seat and you could start the car.
No way.
You would have to hump up.
Yeah. Wow. We never had that before.
We all had weird things with our cars.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the floorboards used to rot out. We would have to cut a piece of wood for the hole in the floor.
Wow.
And you just put a piece of wood over it. Or if you wanted to ride dangerously, you just drove around with the hole in your car.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't born back then.
Cars rusted so quickly back in the day. I mean, all the time over the wheel well, and then the floorboards would rust out. They would just completely rust.
Do you name your cars?
Oh, yeah.
What is your car's name?
Well, I had the John Cougar. I had the sky blue Cavalier with sky blue Cav. I had a black Altima, used to call it Black Betty.
Ooh, that's a nice name.
You know, there's a song Ram Jam. Yeah. Ram Jam Black Betty?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great tune.
Nice.
Okay.
My car's name is Megatron.
Megatron.
Mm-hmm. It's a Ford Explorer.
Why Megatron?
I don't know, it just sounds masculine and, you know, it's an SUV. Okay. It's not a girl, it's a guy.
God, everybody.
You know, yeah, you
everybody
know?
Used to name their cars.
Yeah. It's a great name.
My buddy had a pickup. He called it Louise. I don't know why.
Louise.
Murph.
Hmm.
What's happening, Louise, to take off? Okay. Let's do it, man. I'm ready to go. Wow. Back in the day, this is from 815 area code. Back in the day, I had one of those with a hole in the front seat or the floorboards. It was great when you were drinking. You just put the cans and you drop them and they'd bounce away. Well, of course, we don't encourage drinking and driving, but it was, you know, some people did that back in the 70s before we got smarter. All right. Let me go into a break now and just shut up. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. That is also our text line. Yes, I love that Adam, our engineer, is wearing his Rolling Stones shirt. Is that brand new from the concert? Of course it is. $55? $35? $45? $45 for a black t-shirt that you're going to wear for the next 5 years? I think that's a pretty good investment. Absolutely it is. Okay. I love buying concert t-shirts, but I like to take a picture of the t-shirt and then find it online after the fact. Here is something that everyone listening in Wisconsin will agree with and think that it's okay. 25% of us, 25% of the people right now, one in four, don't lock our doors, ever. You leave the house, you leave the front door unlocked. I don't really understand this. So if you're leaving your house unlocked, you're not locking your car. I lock everything. Maybe it's because I live in the city. I don't know. But I go by the motto, trust no one. But 25% of people don't lock their front door. That's crazy to me. One in four of us. Do you lock your front door? Of course yes. You do. But here's something. My sister-in-law, who lives in northern Wisconsin, never locks her front door. She'll park her car in her driveway and leave the keys in the car.
What?
She'll park her car in the driveway, leave the keys in the car. I guess if you trust your neighbors, who's gonna steal your car? Grand theft?
True.
That's a felony. Are you going to do that? Do you lock your front doors? 312-981-7200. 25%. One in four people leave their front door unlocked. That's nuts. Lock my car every day. Even with my passenger lock, it doesn't work. I do. How about when you go to the gym?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Adam is here, too.
I can hear our engineer in the background. I lock everything.
Yeah.
But there's guys that don't lock their locker at the gym. They just leave their stuff in there.
I can't do that.
What about your wallet? Yeah. People steal everything nowadays. I feel like if you leave your phone for 30 seconds, have you ever had that panic where you put your phone down somewhere or you're at the grocery store and you walk away 10 feet and your phone's in the cart? You're like, oh my God, my phone. It's over there 10 feet away. Is it going to be okay?
Yeah, I was hiking in L.A. and I left my phone on a bench. And I was already like up high with George. And then I realized, I was like, where's my phone? And then I ran all the way back down. And luckily, my phone was still there.
So, still on the bench.
Still on the bench.
That's not happening in Chicago.
Yeah.
Somebody's taking that phone.
Thankfully, there weren't too many people hiking that day.
Do you have a new phone?
No. Oh, what do you mean new phone? Yeah, well, I have an iPhone X.
You have a 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to stay updated, you know?
That's worth a lot of money.
People, it's worth it.
I don't know, man. I lock everything up. I trust absolutely no one.
I mean, you know, I just feel like it's just more, you know, peace in mind, honestly. I mean, we lock my house, you know, we have a door and a storm door. And my mom is obsessed with locking
the storm door.
The storm door. And like, what is the point of this? We have a door behind the storm door.
Right.
But she swears by it, so we like it too.
Growing up, of course, when you have a lot of kids and your father is trying to put food on the table, there's a lot of things that aren't fixed at your house. We had a front door with three windows in the front, and we had a broken window, and my father put a piece of cardboard over it. So all you would have to do is just slightly poke the cardboard and reach down and unlock the lock. But now that I think back, he didn't care because we had nothing to steal in our house. We had nothing of value. What are they going to take? Toys? We have nothing. He had one nice watch that he wore with him all the time. That was it. And a ring.
Simple man.
We didn't have anything. Yeah. The cardboard, though. Just a small little poke. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine, guys. We'll get that piece of glass fixed in about 4 years. Just let it go. It's okay. It's absolutely good. Jesus. My dad, God bless him. He had no time to do anything. It's tough when you have a lot of big family. Coming up after 12:30, Kiefer Sutherland. Remember Jack Bauer from 24? Designated Survivor. He's the last man standing. He is now the president on Designated Survivor. Have you seen it? It's
no,
on Netflix
I
now.
I haven't, no.
He has a band, and Kiefer Sutherland has a new album out.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Jack Bauer will join us after 12:30.
That's so exciting.
From Los Angeles, which will be nice. I think it's L.A. It doesn't matter. He's going to join us around 12:35, right after news. It's 720 WGN. All right, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. After news, we'll talk to Kiefer Sutherland about his new band. And, of course, I was a huge fan of 24. Love Jack Bauer. Loved it. 630 area code. I live in West Dundee. My back door has never been locked. We talked about an article. 25% of people don't lock their front door. 1 in 4 leave our door unlocked. 773, my daughter is the same. She has to lock the storm and outside door. It drives me nuts. Why do you have to lock the storm door?
I don't know. I don't support that. Mom, if you're listening, just stop asking me to do it.
Why the storm door? The big door is enough. The deadbolt's not enough.
I know. I don't know why.
You got that little metal lock. Okay. Where's another one? Grandma lived to be 93. She never locked her door. 224 area code. 847. My dad loses his keys all the time. Now leaves in the car. How do you leave your keys in your car? I don't get it.
Do you have an extra set of keys to unlock the car?
No. You leave your car unlocked and you just hop in. Again. Maybe I'm jaded because I live in the city. I feel like if I leave my car unlocked, someone's going to open the door and steal my sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want him to do. Rowan and Anna are going to be broadcasting live from Cork and Kerry for the Crosstown Classic on Saturday. So make sure you tune in. That is Saturday at Cork and Kerry. And Billy Guidey is the owner there. I've known Billy for a long time. If you stop by Saturday, make sure you say hello to Billy. Salt of the earth, great family. That is Cork and Kerry on the park. Rowan Anna with the entire show live for the Crosstown Classic on Saturday. Wow, I'm losing my voice. You want me to take Doc before news? Okay, real quick. Doc, what's going on? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, real quick. Here's why you lock your storm door. If the door rings in the middle of the night, you can open your regular door. And you have a locked door between you and whoever else is on the other side of your door.
I don't know if I'd trust that, though. You have the screen? You have the screen there?
We have a glass storm door.
You have the glass? Have you done that? Someone knocking on the door at 3 a.m.?
Well, we locked up both doors all day long.
Okay.
Unless one of us is gone.
Where do you live?
I live in Kansas City.
Kansas City. Okay.
Up in St. Louis right now, heading for home.
Love it. Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling. All right. I love that our signal goes down there. This is the power of WGN radio. Seriously. We have a massive signal, especially at night. All right. Kiefer Sutherland coming up next. First news. Here's Vic. Blown away by our next guest's new album, especially this track. It's called Something You Love. It's so good. You know him as Jack Bauer from 24, the designated survivor, Tom Kirkman, and now you know him as the lead singer in the Kiefer Sutherland Band. It's Kiefer Sutherland. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
First of all, Something You Love is one of those songs where you're driving down Lakeshore Drive, you roll down the windows, you open the sunroof, and you crank it. That is a hit. That is a great song.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much.
I was watching the video, Something You Love, and your guitar has Buddy Holly written on it. Was that a message?
Yeah.
Is he one of your musical heroes?
He absolutely is one of my musical heroes. We were playing a show in Lubbock, Texas. I was going to grab something to eat, and I passed by a statue of Buddy Holly, and I knelt down and kind of looked like I was praying, and a friend of mine took a picture of it and posted it. And I got a wonderful response from his widow. I didn't realize that she had such a fantastic music foundation, not only to keep his legacy alive, but to help teach other children how to play music, to get access to instruments. And they sent me that guitar. And so I've been an ambassador to that foundation. And so I love playing that guitar.
I mean, that video is so good. Was that spur of the moment? Was that planned? Because you're on a street corner playing with your band. How did that work out?
No, we just the guitar player and I used to busk a lot in Europe. When we would be on tour, we would think that, well, why would we practice in our hotel room? Let's just go out on the street. And it kind of became a thing. So we thought that'd be a nice idea for a video. So we shot it But we shot that in about 45 minutes to an hour with some friends. Really happy with the way it turned out. But no, it was pretty kind of just set up and start playing and see what happens.
It looked like people just started walking up and they realized that it was you. And then they started dancing. I mean, it looked very real. So it is real.
Yes. Yeah.
How is your voice right now? Because I feel like I'm straining your voice having you on the radio. Are you okay? Because
no, and I feel really bad. We had a hard run. We did it 5 shows in a row. We went a bit nuts last night, and so today is my voice rest day. You're not going to do it any damage. As long as I'm not singing tonight, I'm good.
Is it true that you've done over 300 shows in the last 2.5 years while doing Designated Survivor?
Yes. Yeah, I think we shot Designated Survivor in Toronto, so it gave us great access to the Midwest. We would shoot for 5 days a week, and then we would get on the bus and come down into the States and play a couple shows and then go back to work. And so we've just been chipping away at it the whole time. And then whenever we finished shooting, we would go out and we would tour pretty hard.
Wow. So do you just live out of a suitcase?
For the last few years, yeah.
Wow, man. We're talking with Kiefer Sutherland. When I first started out in radio, Kiefer, there was an artist named Jude Cole from the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
I grew up in Peoria, and he wrote the rock hit Baby It's Tonight. He kind of had a John Waite sound. I always liked his vibe. And then I started reading about your new album, and I didn't realize that you and Jude Cole collaborate. How did you two meet?
Yes.
How did the guy from the Quad Cities meet a guy from Hollywood? How did that happen?
He was really good friends with my wife at the time. I was 19. He didn't have any friends in L.A., and she asked if I would go hang out with him for a minute and just take him out for a drink. And we became best friends within 20 minutes, and we've been friends for 35 years. He's one of the greatest artists and singer-songwriters that I've ever met and known. And he was the one who kind of really urged me to take the songs that I had and record them and make a record. And I'll be forever grateful for that, because I never realized how much I was going to enjoy playing live.
It's such an art. I'm so intrigued with just sitting down and writing a song that has meaning in it. And Jude Cole, man, that guy can write.
He's an incredible songwriter. He's a real craftsman at it.
You know, we had Melissa Etheridge on earlier tonight, and I had talked to her about writing an album, and she said that if she's at Target, something comes to mind, usually she'd have to write it down. Now she just sings into her phone. Is that how it works for you?
I do a mixture of both. You know, I was always enthralled by the story of Keith Richards when writing Satisfaction. He wrote the guitar lick and found it on a tape recorder like 3 weeks later, didn't remember writing it. So the phone's a pretty good idea. You have an idea, just kind of sing into it, and if you find it a couple days later, good for you.
Right. I just saw the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, and I have to tell you, Mick has not missed a step. He had heart surgery.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's unbelievable how this guy keeps going. And you got Charlie Watts, who turns 79 this year, on the drums, just leading the band. They're fantastic.
Yeah, no, I can't remember who said the quote. It was about the environment, and they said someone's going to have to take care of the environment for Keith Richards. You know, they're just all going to outlive us all.
Right. That is so true. Your new album is called Reckless in Me. What does that mean? Are you reckless? Is that you? What's Reckless in Me?
Well, it's very funny. And most people don't know this, but I used to rodeo. I was a team roper, and so I started writing this song about a horse that I had named Reckless. And halfway through the song, I couldn't figure out whether I was writing about me and the horse going from rodeo to rodeo, or if I was writing about this part of my personality that is reckless, that I've had to monitor and kind of keep in check to the best I can over the years. And so, you know, I let the listener decide.
Smart. I mean, they always say that actors want to be singers, singers want to be actors, but man, you can sing.
Well, I've been writing for a long time. But I finally got to a place where I was really in. I liked the songs that I was writing. It took me a long time to get to a place where I think I lived enough to have something to say.
Right.
And I've gotten there, and I'm certainly aware of the stigma of an actor doing music, and didn't want to do it for a long time, but Jude convinced me to do it. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, at this point in my life, if someone's going to make fun of me, oh my gosh, if I can't take that, then that's on me. so far, people have been incredibly generous about it, and the audiences that we play to have been fantastic, and just having the time of my life with it.
We're talking with Kiefer Sutherland. Can we talk TV and movies right now?
Sure, absolutely. My gosh, yes.
Does it bother you when you watch Animal House for the 144th time and you see your father's bare butt?
No, it bothers his wife. I remember I was about 12 years old, and my dad's wife of oh my gosh, now almost 50 years, she was an actress as well. And he had said, I don't care what films you make or whatever, but it's just, you know, I don't want you to be naked in them. And so she turned down a few jobs. And so when we went to the opening of Animal House and she saw his ass.
Yes.
Yeah, he got in a lot of trouble.
Of course he did. Yes.
And it wasn't because of morality. It was because he had laid down a different rule for somebody else.
Of course.
It was very funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you call up your father and say, Dad, you absolutely just killed it in this role? Because he was so good in Trust as J. Paul Getty. Off the charts. Fantastic.
You know, it's really funny. We don't really ever talk about work. You've actually inspired me to call him up. Every once in a while, I'll call him up and tell him just how incredible I think he is. But we don't get specific about it. And he doesn't do that with me either. I mean, the time we get together, we end up talking about my brothers and right. my family and my kids and his, you know, everything. But I should. And you're right. I'll give him a bell and tell him about something specific. You know, there were films growing up, certainly, when I would see him in Eye of the Needle or Animal House and stuff like that.
Sure.
He always became, certainly for me as an actor, he became the thing you aspired to, the thing you wanted to. If you could emulate another person's career, you would go after something like that. And he always has been that for me. But it's very funny. The two of us, when we actually end up talking, we talk about kind of silly crap, you know, more than anything else.
Well, you enjoy each other's company. I think we appreciate, well, I know we appreciate our parents as we get older because now we understand them. I mean, we thought they were crazy yes. when we were younger, but now we understand them and we want to talk up.
Yeah, all it takes is a couple kids to understand what they went through.
Yes. Jack Bauer on 24 never charged his phone or went to the bathroom.
He did have an endless battery, but he did go to the bathroom. It was just in the commercial break.
You were so good in that role. I know.
Thank you, man.
24 was such a great series, not just watching you on TV, but people would talk about it the next day. That's when you knew you had a hit.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was the gift of a lifetime for an actor. And the truth is, I miss the character. I miss playing it. But we just got to a point where how many bad days can one guy have?
Right.
But I did love it. And it will always be, you know, a real highlight in my life when I look back on everything that I've been so fortunate to have the opportunity to do. That will stand out as the greatest opportunity.
Designated Survivor just came back on Netflix. Does it bother you that,
yeah.
that your character is the president and you can't be president in real life because you were born in the UK?
Doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. You know what's amazing? Right before we started that show, I got a week's itinerary of President Obama, and they had given it to me as access to research. The amount of work that man did from 4:45 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night was just incredible. It takes a very special person to want to do that job properly. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not a job that I would want. So
no.
If being born in the UK is my excuse for never running for public office, then I'll take it.
How would you describe yourself? Are you a fun guy to hang out with? Are you kind of serious? You remind me of the captain of the Chicago Blackhawks, Jonathan Toews. He's such a nice guy, fun to hang out with, but they call him Captain Serious. Would that
No, I don't think so. It's... No, I don't think of myself as an overly serious guy. When you go to work, you put your head down and you go do that. Mm-hmm. And the work is the justification for going out and having your time and having a blast. And then trying to keep a balance between the two is not always easy, but I've tried to have as much fun as I think I can.
You're currently on tour. The Rolling Stones were just in town. We took calls about the greatest concert you've ever attended in your life. What comes to mind when I say that?
Well, I've seen so many great shows in little bars, and I like watching bands in that circumstance.
Yeah.
But on a big scale, I would have to say we just had the great pleasure of opening up for Muse in Europe.
Sure.
As a kind of alternative rock band, their show is massive. And then as a young person, David Bowie, I went and saw the Sirius Moonlight Tour, and that was an incredible show. So I'm going to pick those two for right now.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you coming on your day off. This is very nice of
Absolute
you.
Absolute pleasure, brother. And thank you for taking the time.
And I encourage people to listen to the album, Something You Love. We posted the video on my Facebook page, and it's just so good.
Thank you so Oh, man, thank you so much. And thanks for the support, and I hope we see you down the road.
You're the best, man. Kiefer Sutherland, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. You rock. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Take care. It's 720 WGN. He said, I'm wasting my life. WGN. Thanks again to Kiefer Sutherland. I got to tell you, man, I love doing the night show here at WGN because you get people like him that just open up and they'll talk about anything. It's something about getting someone on the phone late at night and they just talk. You remember when you were growing up and you had a boyfriend and you fell in love and you talk on the phone for hours on end? Almost the same thing, but not really. You're there right now. You have no idea who Kiefer Sutherland is, do you?
No.
Lost Boys. Jack Bauer from 24. Jack Bauer. He was so good. That was such a great series. Every single week I watch that.
You're making my mom hate me.
I hate the fact that your mom and I relate on so many levels. It drives me crazy.
She texts me all the time. She's like, how do you not know him? How do you not know how to do this? You know, she always texts me when we're on the show. And I was like, Mom, come on.
Come on, Mom.
You made me. I was born in 93, Mom.
You made me, Mom.
You made me, Mom.
I was born in 93. So are you going to your mother's house for 4th of July?
So we're planning a little boating outing.
Be careful, it's going to rain late in the afternoon.
I know.
There's a chance of rain, and we live in Seattle, Illinois, so that means it's going to rain. Wow.
That is true.
What do most people plan on doing on the 4th of July? What do you think?
I'm going to say grilling.
Grill. Yeah. Cookout. 66% of the people will have a cookout on the 4th of July. How much does the average person spend on the 4th of July per person just on food items? I'd say about $50. The average is $73.42. $73.42 per person just on food items. But most of us are going to be cooking out. Let's see, Thursday? Yeah, I'm headed to a cookout for the 4th of July. Absolutely. So you're on a boat, you're not going to hit a cookout?
No, we're going to barbecue there. But I just have to worry about, you know, bringing a tent to cover the barbecue.
Where's the boat? Are you...
Montrose Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah. And so George is coming. George is coming tomorrow.
Your boyfriend, George.
Yeah, sorry. I know. I never
assume that people listening know who George is. George is a rock star behind the scenes. But, yeah. So are you going to... You're going to bring a grill to Montrose Harbor and cook out on Montrose Harbor?
Yeah, Montrose Harbor.
Okay.
That's what we usually do.
65% of people will display their flags on their house.
Mm-hmm. What about wearing, you know, clothes that resemble the flag?
53% own patriotic-themed apparel, such as T-shirts, bathing suits, or shoes, and plan on wearing them.
That answered my question.
So half of us are going to be wearing... I'm trying to think if I have a shirt. I used to have a T-shirt with a flag on it. You got to wear something.
Yeah.
Red,
white, or
blue?
I'm going to wear a shawl, like, over. Yeah.
A shawl?
Yeah. It's like the... Yeah. It's a shawl. You just like put it over your shoulders.
Is it red, white, and blue?
Yes.
Is it patriotic?
Yeah, it's very patriotic.
You have a shawl?
It's the American flag.
You have a shawl as an American flag?
Yes. For this specific occasion.
Some people get upset when they see an American flag like on a swimsuit. I don't think it's appropriate to have an American flag on a swimsuit.
I don't know. Why.
I saw a guy the other day. I don't know if it was a swimsuit or shorts, but he was wearing it. I didn't like it. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
Did you tell him?
A T-shirt wearing a flag? Seems fine to me.
Okay.
A shawl? I'm not quite sure I'm sold on that.
Okay, you know, it's fine. It's pretty.
Is it a big flag on the back?
It the whole thing is the American flag. The whole thing.
I don't know if I like that. Have you worn that before?
No, it's the first time. My sister actually gave it to me because she's not going to be here for the 4th of July because currently she's flying to Greece.
Of course she is. That's all you people do.
I'm not going this year, though, Pete.
That's too bad.
I know.
Yes, back to the old country. I don't know if I would wear the shawl. I'd want you to rethink that.
Honestly,
uh-huh.
I'm going to probably post a picture on Instagram, and you're going to say, wow, this actually looks really nice, Viv.
I think you should take a picture before you wear it out. No, I'll help you with it.
Judge it.
Send it to me and send it to Jane. And yeah.
I'll send it to our group chat.
Okay. I like that. 44% of Americans will attend a fireworks show or community celebration. That seems kind of low. Only 44%?
I mean, a lot of
I feel like everybody's going to be watching fireworks on Thursday.
Well, it depends on the weather.
God, you're right.
A lot depends on the weather.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on. It's like scattered thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain almost every hour. It's like so depressing. And
you
I'm
see the
hailstorm
in Mexico?
Yes.
The piles of hail?
Yeah.
If this isn't climate change, I don't know what is.
I agree.
I mean, think about it. I know we forget because it's 90 degrees right now, but it was about 2.5 weeks ago where it was still winter. You'd walk out at 6 a.m. and you'd have to wear a heavy jacket.
Right.
I went to the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field. I had to wear a heavy jacket.
Yeah.
What was that? 2 weeks ago? Two and a half weeks ago?
That was a week ago.
No, it was more than a week ago.
Oh, really? I thought it was last week.
It was 2 weeks. Wow. It was a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
That was still winter. And 14% will watch a parade. I'm not into watching parades.
I don't think I would spend, on 4th of July. I feel like it's just, you know, you want to be with your family, your friends.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm not a parade guy.
Yeah.
I would do the Pride Parade, but I couldn't give up a day because I know it takes forever to get down there. And
it was so much fun.
I know it was. I saw your pictures.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had a great time until it started raining.
What was our float? What was it?
The Voices of Pride.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Who makes floats? Where do we get those?
That's
Does
a
someone
good
put
question.
That together? Is there a float maker?
I believe so.
Who
I
are
mean,
the float people?
I've got to find them. I don't know who they are, but that's a great question.
And how many people on our float on Sunday?
There were actually, I want to say, a couple, probably like 7-8 people on the float, and then everybody else was just walking around.
What did Eddie Johnson say, our police chief? A million people were down there, and you didn't really hear about anything because everybody was so happy. I think the police do such a great job in an environment like that because you never know. Somebody could. There's always a crazy person, and you just don't know. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
And who was down there from the station?
Sarah Tiemann.
Right? Yep.
She organized the whole thing. She did a phenomenal job.
Sarah is in marketing behind the scenes. I love Sarah. She's one of my favorites.
Yes. And Michael Heidman.
Okay. Who's on the Cochrane Show.
Yes, on the Cochrane Show.
Was John Williams there?
No, he wasn't there.
Okay.
He wasn't there. Andrea Darlis came. Yes.
Yeah.
Amy Guth was there.
The Guth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that we had all hot women on our float. That's fantastic. That's great.
Jen DeSalvo from News.
Yep, in NBC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a lot of awesome people. Ro Coleman, another producer here at WGN.
Sure.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there.
Okay.
It was fun.
Maybe next year. I love it. All right, quick break. We'll check top of the hour. It's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN. All right, that does it for me. Nikki is coming up next. Thanks again for hanging out. And don't forget, Jane and I will be live at the Eyes to the Skies Festival in Lisle on Friday. We'll be there from 3 to 6. If you're out and about, please stop by and say hello.